is Dr. Tomas Villanueva, your host for this podcast, and I have exciting news to share with you. For the third year straight, Modern Practice Podcast has won the Hermes Award in the podcast category. This time, we received two Platinum Awards, the highest offered in the competition for our episodes, Surviving Cardiac Arrest, which was posted in June 1st of 2023, and Facing Hostile Patients, Part 1, from September 28, 2023. If you haven't heard these podcasts, I encourage you to listen on whatever podcast platform you use. And thank you so much for joining us at Modern Practice. On today's episode, we'll continue our discussion about research marketing and its benefits. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Tomas Villanueva, Senior Principal for Performance Improvement Consulting at Vizient and Practicing Internist. Returning to the podcast is Dr. Dylan Steen, CEO and co-founder of High Enroll. He's also associate professor and a cardiologist at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine. And from St. Elizabeth Healthcare in the Cincinnati region is Dr. Daniel Flora, medical director for oncology research and also a hematologist-oncologist. Hey, everybody. Great to have you back.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
One of the things that we see, or at least came up during the pandemic, was the lack of inclusivity in many of our studies, particularly addressing social determinants of health. Any thoughts behind that, or what have we done to mitigate that?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And I think it comes down to individual institutions making a strong effort, but also we need to have our sponsors be more aware of the fact that they are not doing a very good job of including real world patients on these studies. And so we're selecting a small group of patients, which a lot of the results are not applicable to the broader population. So for example, our institution, we're making an effort to make sure that we get into the community where the patients of all races and socioeconomic status are included in our trials. And that's in our strategy. So you have to make that apparent. Otherwise, we're not getting true data. We're getting skewed data. And I think in Kentucky, where I work, that also includes getting into some of the rural settings. In Appalachia, they're really not included in clinical trials. And so the cancer outcomes in this particular group is really hit hard by cancer, yet we're not including them in our cancer research studies. So again, a huge opportunity to get it out there in those communities, to market it, to show that what we're doing at community cancer centers, and this can be done in smaller hospitals, as long as they can, like you mentioned earlier, Tomas, to link up with centers like ours or other centers that have opportunities.
You mentioned something that struck with me, and it's something I've known for years, but I don't think resonates so much among our colleagues, is that in reference to outcomes, patients enrolled in studies tend to have better outcomes versus those not. Can you provide the audience some examples behind that?
I can answer that first, Dylan, if that works for you. There have been studies that have specifically looked at this. The National Cancer Institute had a large group of patients that were involved in studies, and they sort of did a meta-analysis of all those folks from across the country, and they were able to show there was an improvement in outcome for those folks who enrolled in clinical trials. And how I explain it to patients is that when you're on a study, the attention that's given to that patient, for better or for worse, just a lot more attention. And so you're there more frequently. You're requested to give more of your time and you're watched like a hawk. And so not to say that we don't do that for all patients. We do provide great quality of care for patients. But there are some centers where they're not given the time, particularly in busy community cancer centers where the physicians are not able to spend as much time with those folks. Research is really a surrogate for quality. If you're involved in a clinical trial, that the quality of care you get is probably certainly at par with standard of care and oftentimes better.
Yeah, and we're in an age where research studies are designed to deliver at least standard of care, right? So the baseline for a research study is to get what guidelines recommend. And Tom, Dan, you know this well, a lot of times we're not delivering guideline-based care when we look across the country. And so the studies ensure that, plus then add on extra testing and some of the newest and most exciting therapies out there today. So yes, it's an amazing opportunity for patients, and providers really should think about it for those patients coming in, whether it be a simple vaccine trial or a more complicated, say, cancer trial.
I know High Enroll is proud to support St. Elizabeth's. Tell me a little bit about what High Enroll is actually doing with St. Elizabeth's right now.
I can start and I'll let Dan finish. So I'm a physician. Dan's a physician. We started by just talking about the problem, and it was clear that there was a fit. and there was a need to be solved. So we originally rolled out the provider-facing version of the platform, which is a way to get not only the doctors, nurses, pharmacists, but also the trainees in St. Elizabeth's aware of their enrolling studies and making it easier for them to engage with them, but also their external providers. And now more recently, we've entered into the phase of getting awareness out to the public and the broad mix of patients that Dan was speaking about before that they hope to engage, that they're already engaged with, but that they would like to have even more engagement with. And Dan, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about what the vision is for really engaging that public.
Yeah, no, I think when we found out about this opportunity and I talked with Dylan, it was exactly what we needed at the right time, which was basically an easy button. We needed a way to be able to connect the physicians to the trials quickly and have it at your fingertips in the room with the patient. And it's evolved nicely over the last couple of years. So now I can be in the room with a patient. I can ask them if they're interested in clinical trials. I can pull up the studies on my phone right there with them and share that particular potential trial. Before, this was traditionally done with a paper menu that I would just carry it around. It was always outdated. You'd lose it. You'd spill coffee on it. It wasn't a real great resource. They got lost in the mix and the physicians just didn't really see them. So now that it's literally in your hand when you're in with the patient, it's made a huge difference, at least knowing what's out there. Some of our physicians may not remember all of the studies that we have. So it's a reference tool for them in the room. So we really needed that point of care type of opportunity. And then now the patients have access to that. They can explore this on their own. We can share it. And it's really that sharing aspect that really helps a lot. So I can share a study with my colleagues with a touch of a button. I can send out to 4 or 5 providers and say, hey, this study's brand new. We're excited about it. We need your help. And I can send that out. Whereas before it was an email or it was walking around the office trying to recruit people. So now it's become just a big time saver. And I think as we continue to evolve this type of technology, there'll be more and more opportunities with it. So we're excited just to kind of continue building on that relationship with iEnroll.
Excellent.
And I'll add just the dovetail on there. I mean, now the St. Elizabeth's website is updated from iEnroll, and I know we're working on a second version of that to really bring next generation content about each study to the website. Very few healthcare systems in the U.S. have anything even close. And I heard recently that the St. Elizabeth board took an interest in what iEnroll was doing. And I think that's really where things are going, is the idea that if you can promote your research and innovation and really get it out to the public and to your referring providers, that helps your system as a whole. It's your brand. It's your referral network. It's a way to bring people in and a way to attract into your system.
Dylan, what do you mean by second generation input?
So what I mean is, have you all been on clinicaltrials.gov?
No.
So clinicaltrials.gov is a website. It serves a variety of different purposes, but essentially it's an archive of studies that have been started and completed. And it's so the public can go and see what science has been done, whether the trial had a positive outcome or a negative outcome. The content is all black and white text. It is not inspiring. It is oftentimes complicated to figure out what the study is really about. It's very difficult to understand how to engage with the study, where the study is occurring, who to contact, etc. So while it does serve some purposes, it is not engaging. It doesn't really lead to action. What I'm talking about is, for a new study coming out, for a new exciting medicine, why wouldn't you as the public be able to watch a video from the world expert on that disease telling you why that study matters, where it fits in the modern care, what's the big challenge that's being solved, what sites are doing it, how do you get engaged with those people to make the links, the clicks, and the phone calls as simple as possible. Instead of having a series of steps, make it just simply one touch. We want to make things as easy as possible, but also really help people understand the study through video, podcasts, and new ways of getting content beyond the simple black and white text of the past.
Great job, guys. I'm looking forward to finishing our talk in the next episode. And to our listeners, you can contact our guest at their email addresses posted on our resource section. And if you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send us your comments, please contact me at modernpracticepodcast@visiantinc.com. And please join us for other Modern Practice Podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And now, I'm Dr. Tomas Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.